Kevin Harlan here. Tonight at 5:30 Eastern, the NBA on Prime Crew is back as the Emirates NBA action heats up from Vegas for a thrilling semifinals doubleheader. Then on Tuesday night, December 16th at 8:30 Eastern, the last two teams standing will square off in the championship game for a shot at the cup, bragging rights, and a place in NBA history. And Prime is your exclusive home for it all. Not a Prime member? Sign up for a free 30-day trial to get started today. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details. Don't miss the thrilling conclusion of the Emirates NBA Cup live from Las Vegas, starting with the semifinals tonight, only on Prime.
Einsteigen, aufdrehen, losfahren. Mit dem neuen Volkswagen T-Roc bist du bereit für den großen Auftritt. Selbstbewusst und voller Power. Du steigst ein? Keine Kompromisse. Nur du und der Moment. Alles passt. Dein Sound, dein Drive, dein T-Roc. Rockt. Der neue T-Roc.
Will they find a home? Sponsored by Geico. Steve is intrigued by the paranormal.
Otherworldly spirits really make a house a home, you know?
Janice has different taste.
I'd like my house to not be haunted.
Compromise is tough, but these two won't have to compromise when they bundle home and car insurance with Geico. It's easy, and they could save even more. In the end, Steve and Janice found a renovated Victorian that's only haunted from 9 to 5.
Okay, wife's home. Y'all gotta bounce.
Bye, Steve.
Bundling without compromise at Geico.com.
From the basement of the Bob and Tom Studios, it's That Josh Arnold Podcast. Oh, well, well, well. Hello, how are you? My, oh my. In the heart of February, aren't we? Ah, it sure feels like it, at least around here. Cold and snow. But hey, that's to be expected, right? Well, we're going to heat things up for you. Right now with a little bit of, well, nonsense and joy and conversation. And our guest this week, my goodness. I don't know how we got him, but we did. They are here, and I think without further ado, I'll go ahead and introduce this week's guest. It's you! Oh, thank you so much for taking the time out to visit with me. If it's your first visit, well, welcome, and if you've been here before, welcome back. Certainly appreciate you either way, and a lot happened this week. We will get to it. The basement is... It's chilly. It's chilly down here because it's in the single digits outside, and not a ton of heat makes its way down here in the basement. It's interesting because the furnace is right over there, but it all goes up, doesn't it? It all goes into the chutes and goes right up, so it doesn't really don't get much down here. But I don't see that lady. Still don't know her name. I don't see her lurking around, so I don't, hopefully she's off today or something. Well, you know what? She might be off today. Why? Because it's Wednesday, and normally we do this on Tuesday. So yesterday, if you were looking for this episode, you didn't find it, did you? But it's here now, all right? And that was due to weather. Kind of gummed up the works there. But everybody's good now, and Jason's here. I'm here, and you're here. So let's have some fun. Oh, we have a fine sponsor this week. Happy to have them on board. This week's sponsor of That Josh Arnold Podcast, a balloon. How about that? Everybody enjoys a balloon. They can be they're fun, aren't they? The colorful, you know, whether or not they be like your standard vinyl balloon, or maybe you've got one of the from what I understand now, rare Mylar balloons. I think there's a Mylar shortage. I don't feel like I'm making that up. I think that is a thing. And even as a grown up, don't you like a balloon? Especially, let's say you go to a birthday party for a young person, and there are balloons aplenty. As a grown-up, you want to bat it around, don't you? And maybe play that don't let it touch the ground game or whatever. That's fun stuff. And, oh my gosh, how about those helium balloons? Man, oh man. You got to be careful. You let go of that string and off they go. You know what I mean? That's, you don't want that. And that's one of life's great sort of ironies, isn't it? You want to watch the balloon soar, but you don't want to lose the balloon. So you hang on to it, and boy, you're sad when it when you accidentally let go of that string, but you still watch it, and you're still kind of amazed. How far is it going to go? Can you still see it? That kind of thing. How about hot air balloons? Those are neat. Huh? Some of you may be scared of riding in one. I've never done it. I think I would, but I guarantee I'd be terrified. But, boy, they're pretty and cool. And don't you get excited when you see one off in the distance? Hey, everybody, there's a hot air balloon. Man, oh, man. So thank you. Oh, and let's not forget, with those helium balloons, you puncture a tiny hole in it. Well, now the fun really begins, doesn't it? You breathe in some of that. And I don't know how good that is for you. I don't know. So, you know what? I'm not going to encourage you to do it. But when you do, your voice sure sounds funny. So, thank you, Balloon, for sponsoring our podcast this week. I hope you enjoy a balloon sometime soon. That reminds me, I got a letter from Misty. She writes, and she was listening to the January 27th podcast, and she said that the sponsor was dry ice. That's not exactly true. The sponsor was ice, and I talked about how ice is great for drinks and stuff like that. She claims that I'm not saying that she's wrong, because this is probably something I said, but that I said if you put dry ice in your drink, that would be neat or whatever. She says she works at a dry ice factory, and never do that. Don't ever put dry ice in your drink. It would be it's bad if you do that. So don't do it. If I said that, I apologize. If I didn't, that's okay. It's still a worthy message to get out there. Don't drink your dry ice, people. All right. And if you already have, well, I hope everything's okay. So, all right. Well, even though it's pretty cold out, maybe not where you are, but here it certainly is, we're going to hop on board that train and make our way to Vocabulary Station. Ah. Ooh, a lot of steam today because of how cold it is here. Boy, oh boy, plumes of it pouring out of that stack up on top of the engine. How about that? That is something. And we've arrived at Vocabulary Station. This is a fun one today, a fun word. Blatherskite. Blatherskite. B-L-A-T-H-E-R-S. Kite. K-I-T-E. Blatherskite. And it means, it's got two definitions. So you can use this, in a couple different ways. One of them is a person who blathers. So someone who's spouting off nonsense. Boy, is he a blatherskite. We all know blatherskites. You work with a couple. I know I work with at least one. In fact, there are many times where I am the blatherskite. Just spewing idiocies. And it also means nonsense or blather itself. So a blatherskite often peddles in blatherskite. How about that? So you could say you're speaking blatherskite, or you could say, boy, you're a real blatherskite. Ugh, quit being such a blatherskite. Isn't that a fun one? Use that at some point this week. And then you can do that obnoxious, condescending thing where you go, boy, you're being a true blatherskite. Well, what does that mean? Look it up. That's always fun to say. Yeah, look it up. There's no reason they should know the definition, but, well, you know what? There is a reason they should know the definition. They should be listening to the show, and they should be learning the definition, just like you are. That's right. You are a better person for listening to this program. And it's good to know that. I need to remind you guys more often that listening to this podcast makes you a better person than those who don't. All right. I hope you enjoyed learning about being a blatherskite. Here's something that I've enjoyed the last week or so. In fact, you know what? We've got a segment, don't we? Let me see. Yes, we do. What I enjoyed this week. Oh, look at this blatherskite just traipsing down the lane. Look at him. He won't shut up. We're trying to enjoy this song, and he's just going on and on about this and that. Oh, what a true blatherskite. Get out of here, blatherskite. Take your blatherskite and get out of here. Is anybody else picturing a fat guy? Don't you love the fat loudmouth? Just the like in an old 40s movie or whatever. I know better than this. Oh, yeah, that's what I'm picturing. Anyway, what I enjoyed this week will not be for everybody. I'll be honest. It's a song, and it's of the heavier sort of rock genre. And I know that's not always for everyone, but boy, am I digging the new single from Rob Zombie. I've always enjoyed Rob Zombie's music, and I like his movies, even though they are very divisive in the horror community. A lot of folks think that they're not good. A lot of folks think that they're amazing. I tend to think there's a lot of good and a lot of bad in almost every one of his movies. So there are times where I go, man, he's a genius, and other times where I go, he has no idea what he's doing. But that's, you know, everybody's opinion is their own. Boy, how profound was that? Everybody's opinion is their own. Any other wisdom you can impart on us, Josh? So that said, I own almost every one of his movies, and I do watch them, and they at the very least, they fascinate me. So. But those also are not for everybody. If you've seen one, you know. But his music, I tend to really enjoy. I think he absolutely knows what he's doing there. And I really enjoy it. It's a fun mix of rock and macabre. And it's just, I have a good time listening to it. And his latest single is no exception. It's called The Eternal Struggles of the Howling Man. So immediately you think werewolf, or you think lunatic, whatever is making this man howl. The title itself, very evocative. And when it first starts, you go, well, my gosh, this is Rob Zombie. Back to the base. I mean, it's almost White Zombie. It sounds very White Zombie, the band he was in before going solo. And it's great. It's just it's rocking. It's fun. It's bizarre. And about three minutes in, it takes a left turn that is a blast. It all of a sudden it goes from being this this heavy rock song to this super funky, upbeat sort of. A mild disco thing. Funk, really. It's a blast. And the single that came out just before that, like a month or so before, it's called The Triumph of King Freak. Another very colorful title. In fact, the full title is The Triumph of King Freak. And then in parentheses, A Crypt of, what is it? A Crypt of Superstition and... Oh, I'm forgetting. It might be like Preservation and Superstition or something like that. Very bizarre title, but also evocative. And they're both really fun songs. I'm looking forward to the whole new album. Again, some of you are going to listen to it and go, hey, that's not for me. But I hope some of you listen to it and go, man, this is cool. I like it. I certainly have been enjoying playing. I've been wearing them out the last week or so, putting them on in the car and when I'm just kind of working on something at home, whatever. Fun stuff, Rob. Thank you. I'm excited that you've got new music. And by the way, I have seen Rob in concert a few times, and he is the definition of a front man. I mean, that guy is a performer through and through. And I actually, at one concert, the last time I saw him, he was with Marilyn Manson and Rob closed. So Marilyn went first, and then Rob came out, and he did this thing. He was doing, I don't remember what song it was, but he's on stage, and all of a sudden, he walks off the stage, and he's coming up the stairs through the audience. And I went, well, I've got to go to the bathroom anyway. I really did have to go. I'd had a couple beers and things like that. And so I had a mild buzz, and I went, well, this is the perfect time for me to go to the bathroom. Why? Because I'm going to walk right by Rob Zombie. So I left my seat and went through the row, and I went I went down to the big aisle there where you walk out to the bathrooms. And as I'm walking out, Rob walks right up to me, and we're the only two right there. I mean, we were so close to each other that we kind of like rubbed arms, you know what I mean? But I dorked out. I totally dorked out, and I did the nerdiest thing, and I'm sure some people laughed at this. This was so idiotic of me. I put my hand up to high-five him. And I'm not a high-fiver. I don't like high-fiving at all. If you ever see me in public, do me the favor and just don't high-five me. I'm just not I'm never comfortable doing it. I don't know why I don't like it. I just don't. I appreciate the sentiment, but in this case I went, well, when you're walking right next to Rob Zombie, you've got to high five him. And so, so like a moron, I put my arm up to high five him, and you might go, well, that's not really being a moron. Here's why, it was moronic. The arm, the only way that he would have been able to high five me was with his left arm. And he had his microphone in his left hand, and he was singing into it. So I throw my arm up in the air, and he has to leave me hanging because he's singing into the microphone that's in his hand. So he just skates right by me, and our arms sort of brush or whatever. And he gave me a look like it was a nice like hey man, like he gave me the an eyeball high five, if you know what I mean. Like it looked like he. Had I not been, hey, if I weren't performing right now, I would have high-fived you. But I must have looked pretty foolish to some of the people. But who cares? It was fun. I decided, you know what? And thanks to a couple of the tall beers I had had before, I went, I'm going to walk right by this guy. And it was kind of a fun moment. So check out his new singles, The Eternal Struggles of the Howling Man and The Triumph of King Freak. Fun stuff if that's your thing. Boy, Valentine's Day a couple days ago. Huh? I hope you had a lovely Valentine's Day. I had fun. I got to spend some time with some people that mean a lot to me, and I got gifts for my nieces. Boy, they arrived a little late, and so they're on their way to them. And I guess I'm bragging a little bit because I get an extended Valentine's Day. As soon as they get them, they'll FaceTime me, and that'll be nice. So I hope you had a fine – you know what else I did on Valentine's Day? I am on Cameo, and that's that thing where you can go and you can have some of your favorite celebrities like do video messages for your friends and family or whatever, wishing them a happy birthday or happy anniversary, whatever. And Chick and I did this kind of fun thing where we both posted videos on our Instagrams about advertising our Cameo pages. And then it sort of became like who's going to get more? He ended up getting more. He got one more than I did. He also charges a little more than I do, which, I'm not going to say that that's gross, but... No, of course. Anyway, what I enjoyed about it was getting to share your Valentine's Day. So thank you. If you ordered a Cameo, I really appreciate it. And it was a lot of fun being a part of your Valentine's Day. So that was a good time. If you're ever interested in having Chick or I or whatever do a Cameo, check it out. It's a fun little thing. And I like to think that we aren't charging too much for it. But anyway, birthdays, whatever you want. Well, for the most part, we will happily do that for you. So that was fun. It was a weird week last week. I want to share some things with you. January and February, they've been months of unexpected expenses. Winter has kicked my ass in the financial department, in a sense. And please, I'm not complaining. I don't want you to think that, because I am blessed to be working right now, and I never take that for granted. So I'm able to pay my bills, and I'm able to enjoy, delivered meal and things like that every now and again. And so I'm not complaining, but we've all been there. We've all been hit with unexpected expenses. And this month just happened to be the last 30 days or so have been major capital expenditures at my house. The my water heater went out, so I had no hot water only for, boy, a day, because I had a fine company come out and they were able to change out my water heater within a day. And then at the same time, they were able to kind of work out a deal with me, because I needed other work done. They said, hey, if you get all this work done at once, we can take a little bit of money off. And when I first moved into my house, my inspector told me that my electrical panels were ancient and, in fact, might have been really, like, no longer not legal, but certainly no longer recommend. Whatever materials were in my electrical boxes, no good anymore. So he was like, you're going to want to get those changed immediately. Well, I didn't. It's been 3 years since I moved in. But I thought, hey, now's the time to do it, because this company also does that. And so a pretty penny for a new water heater and new electrical panels and breakers and all that stuff. But I was, yes. So again, I'm working, so I'm able and I had a little bit of money saved up, and I went, okay, well, hey, this has to happen. I need hot water and I need electricity, so let's do it. Well, just as I've been told that this is what owning a house is, essentially, once you get one thing paid off, the next thing rears its ugly head. And so that cost me a bit of money. And as soon as I went, okay, well, now I can sort of get my head back above water, my whole HVAC system went out. So we're talking heat pump and furnace. Boy, and that is, well, let's just say I was quickly introduced to what's known as a home improvement loan at a certain APR, which, boy, there's nothing like that, huh? No matter what it is. I mean, you could tell me that my interest on a loan is going to be 0.01%, and I'm still going to go, ah, geez, I have to pay. I'm already borrowing money, and now I have to pay extra for. I mean, I totally get it, but it's just one of those things. You go, dang it. And one of my best friends, his name is Joe Murray. He's a comedian out of St. Louis. He once told me, he goes, there's nothing worse than spending money to get back to normal. And that really hit me. You're exactly right. You spend money. When you spend a lot of money, you want to go, well, I've got something new and fun and enjoyable. I either got a new car, or I took a trip, something, you know, worthwhile. But just to get back to where you were is just like, it just feels like there was nothing gained. And trust me, I did a lot of research. I weighed my options on different HVAC systems and costs and things like that, and debated with myself and debated with the company who would be installing them, and, you know, everything was fine. They were great, but it's just one of those things. You go, boy, am I? Do I really? All right, and I had to do it. You know, you have to do it. And I try to look on the bright side and go, okay, well, when I go to sell the house, I can tell the folks, hey, there's a water heater that's only 4 years old, or there's a furnace that's only 4 years old. You know, those are good things. And, anyway, it's just it's a wild, wild thing when you all of a sudden go, okay, all right, well, I had just paid off the appendectomy I had done 3 years ago. Now time to start paying off this furnace. So, but we've all been there. And hopefully, if you're facing issues like that, you're also able to work and make payments and get it taken care of. There are a lot of folks who, are in a position right now where they're not as blessed, and I hope that that gets better for them very soon, because I've also been there where I may have been working, but I wasn't making good money. I was a consultant or a comedian full time or whatever, and it tended to be feast or famine. Some months you would make thousands of dollars, and other months maybe hundreds. So you had to balance things out, and if one of those unexpected expenses came up, man, that's tough. So all my best to anybody going through financial issues, and remember, boy, there's you'll get through it. It will be, it's tough, but it will be okay. I've gotten through it, and I'll get through it again, and you will too. So I thought this week, why not answer some questions that you've written in asking me. It's always great to hear from you. joshpodcast@bobandtom.com. I will let you know that I am a little behind in responding to everybody. So if you haven't heard from me, don't take it personally. I've not been, I kind of told you what's been on my mind lately. reading your emails and kind words and things like that are certainly a respite from some of those issues. And let's see what we have here in the stack of questions I've got in front of me. Well, Mark Anthony, it's not like Mark, first name Anthony, last name, it doesn't look like here. Mark Anthony, so it's either his middle name, but that's, my name were Mark and my middle name were Anthony, I would absolutely insist on being called Mark Anthony. That is awesome. So he says, what do we got here? I was wondering if you enjoy the King Kong and Godzilla movies, old and new. The new Kong versus Godzilla is coming out. What do you think? I am excited. I'm excited. I love monster movies. I love, old Kong and old Godzilla, and I have been impressed so far with the new, what are they calling it? The Kaiju universe or whatever, giant monsters. I think the latest Godzilla movies have been fun, and that latest King Kong has been fun, and I think the Peter Jackson King Kong is excellent. I know it has its detractors, but I loved it. So, Mark Anthony, simple answer to your question. I am a fan, and I am very excited to see Kong and Godzilla duke it out, perhaps at the expense of some of our finer skylines. but boy, oh boy, it looks fun. Grant has written in asking, where can we go to listen to some of your stand-up sets as well as any of the Bob and Tom albums? Okay. And when it comes to the Bob and Tom albums, my biggest recommendation would be Bob and Tom 24/7. It's get the Bob and Tom app. You can listen to all kinds of stuff on it. And if you listen to the 24/7, then they're playing old bits, old visits with comedians, old shows. It's awesome. You're going to love it. And be sure to listen to the Bits and Pieces podcast that Willie, Jason, Jess and Alsman do, because they're always listening to older bits and talking about them and analyzing them and giving some behind the scenes on them. So those are two great resources for old Bob and Tom material. In terms of getting any of the CDs or albums or anything like that, I I'm sure they're out there somewhere, but I don't know that they're available like through the Bob and Tom website or app or anything like that. Who knows? You know, the physical media, I'm sure you can find somewhere, but I just don't think they're available through the main Bob and Tom channels, is what I'm saying. In terms of my stand-up sets, sometimes things will pop up on YouTube that I had no idea about. Usually they're things I don't want up there, meaning they were a bit that I was working out at the time, or they were, or they're super dated and old, things like that, or when I was first starting, and so they're not very good. Who knows? So you may occasionally come across a clip of me out there, but I did record. This had to have been in maybe even 2019. I recorded some stand-up sets and haven't done much with them to the point where now I'm going to have to go back and kind of cherry pick from those sets bits that are still applicable to, because I'm sure there's some dated stuff in there, so I need to sort of ignore that stuff, pick the stuff that's evergreen, and then what I plan on doing is adding material from upcoming shows. I have none on the books yet, but I'm sure, you know, midsummer or whenever, 21, I will be back out there. And I plan on recording again and eventually getting a CD out. I think it might be fun. So nothing really available now, Grant. I really appreciate you asking, though. Thanks for your interest. And I will let all of you know as soon as I have a CD or whatever, streaming or for sale, whatever out there. So what else do we have? Dustin. Boy, you might remember Dustin for being the impetus for the question about, that led to about three or four podcasts kind of going through my history. More good questions from Dustin. He says he has questions about fan interaction. Do fans ever show up to the radio station while you're on the air? If so, how does the crew feel about that? That has happened. And when it's an unexpected visit from a fan, we get a little uneasy. I'll be honest. Just like you might, if you were sitting at your cubicle and somebody came up to you and said, "Hey, there's a stranger here to see you." You might not know, you know, you might feel a bit cautious or uneasy about it. Now, I would say for the most part, anybody who I tend to give people the benefit of the doubt that they have good intentions and everything like that. But in today's world, you know, you can't be too careful. So we prefer that you not just show up to the station. There are channels to get a hold of us, or if you say have gifts for us, whatever, you know what I mean? That to get things to us, there are ways to do it. And you can find out on the Bob and Tom website. Just showing up does kind of make us nervous. What tends to happen is if somebody does show up, eventually, you know, Dean, our wonderful producer, will go out and talk to them. Just say, "Hey, how can I help you? Or what can I do for you?" And then, find out. And sometimes they've been very pleasant visits, from what I understand, and other times not so pleasant. And I've looked out the window before and seen police cars. I'm just being honest. So how has being on the Bob and Tom Show changed your interaction with fans in your day-to-day life? I get recognized, and it's for the most part very nice. It's always pleasant, always fun to hear from a listener. Now, there have been people who, you know, have let me know that they're not a fan, which is always interesting to me. I feel like if you weren't a fan of mine, you could not bother introducing yourself to me and saying anything. You could have just gone on with your life. But sometimes people feel the need to let me know that they don't care for what I'm doing. I'm not that type of person. I would just, if I saw somebody and I went, you know what, I don't, I'm not a fan of theirs, I just wouldn't say anything, because it wouldn't, I don't think it would make me feel any better to say something, but that's okay. Most of the time, the interaction is very friendly and very nice. And has a fan ever crossed the line and made you uncomfortable? Sure, it's happened. They don't always mean to. Sometimes, you know, I meet people at comedy clubs or at theaters where I've done a show, and there's been alcohol served. So sometimes folks get a little louder or handsier or maybe even accidentally meaner than they mean to, you know? And yes, it's uncomfortable, but I tend to give people the benefit of the doubt. Just go, well, you know, they're out having a good time. They don't mean to be obnoxious or rude. It's just, that's just the way they're coming off now. And, you know, I tend to be nice. There was one, boy, it was kind of like a couple weeks worth of being fairly uncomfortable. And I even give this person the benefit of the doubt because she was very nice, but it really made me uncomfortable. And I'm real sure that that was not her intent. But here's what happened. It was when I still lived in St. Louis, and I was working, doing a lot of stand-up comedy there. And the way that it would go is Tuesdays were open mic night at the St. Louis Funny Bone. And the comedians that lived in St. Louis, the working comedians, as well as people doing comedy for the first time and people who were trying to get into being professional comedians, would all go to open mic. Guys like Greg Warren and comedians, all the St. Louis, Nikki Glaser and Tommy Jonigan and would all go to work out new material. And other guys, other people would go up and work on old material that they were trying to polish, or to get, they wanted to do material that could be considered old, but that they knew worked, so they could get the attention of the Funny Bone manager and say, hey, I could host here, or, you know, that kind of thing. I'm sure most of you know how open mics work. Well, this woman was showing up to open mics with her boyfriend or husband. And I had jokes about, I still have jokes, you know, about sex, you know, nothing too graphic or whatever, but about being, I was, you know, single. And so about, you know, being a single guy and looking for sex and romance, whatever. Well, this lady seemed to take what I was saying pretty seriously and would come up to me after my set or after the open mic and hit on me. And I kind of played along the first time or two because I thought she was being mostly facetious. And, you know, I'll joke back with people or whatever. And she seemed nice enough. She was not my type at all. I had zero interest in her. And she also was with a guy. So I wasn't terribly comfortable with, like, flirting back because this dude was there. Well, there were about 3 or 4 weeks where she showed up consistently. And the flirting turned into, like, some real harassment, and not angry or mean, but just some of the filthiest, most descriptive things I've ever heard. And I got real uncomfortable with it. And the thing was, is I kind of wouldn't respond positively. And I don't mean I yelled at her or I got mad or whatever. I would just go, oh, and leave or walk away and go talk to my friends. You know what I mean? I didn't engage her. So what would happen is then I would get home and I would have a Facebook message from her that was, again, a little too much for me. And so eventually I told her at Like the last time it happened, I told her at the open mic, hey, this is no thanks, essentially, because she wasn't just saying like she really wanted to meet up and do these things. And I could never tell if she wanted to with her partner, whoever the guy was that she was with. I don't really know what the whole situation, because I didn't want to know. And so I just really said, hey, no more of this. And again, as politely as I could. And I got home and there were more messages. And so I had to block her. And it got me thinking, boy, I hope I never flirted with a woman in my life where it got to that point for her, where she, because this is not a good feeling. It's not a, and it's easy. It would be easy to joke, you know, oh, guys can't be harassed, that kind of thing. but they sure can. And, it's not great. So, boy, I'd hate to think. In fact, my good friend Greg Warren, had a bit for a while about, being hit on at a bar, and he didn't much care for who was hitting on him, and he said, and he thought, my gosh, is this how women feel when I talk to them? It was a terrific bit, and I certainly could relate during this. I was like, boy, if this is how girls feel when I flirt with them, I am so sorry. So yes, that was really kind of one of the only times I can think about being genuinely uncomfortable. The other times have been sort of small, you know. I was quickly able to get over it. But thank you for the fine questions, Dustin. Well, who do we have here? Brad. Brad says, if I may ask to break down the fourth wall. Oh, sure. When bits are done on the show that involve curse words that are censored, do you say the words or do you say something that sounds like them? I'm pretty sure Christy's attack on Chick a couple years ago was true. Ah, so Chick said something Christy didn't like, and Tom said, you need to go record your true feelings and thoughts, and Dean will bleep out the curse words, and then we'll play them. If you're not familiar with that bit, that's what happened. If you are, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And yes, I believe in that case, Christy did actually say the bad words, and Dean edited them, you know, put the beeps over them. And Brad says, I'm asking more your holiday song of eating too much. Oh, yes, I wrote a song and sang a song called Too Fat to F. And when we recorded that, I did indeed sing the F word. And they were beeped or whatever. So, yes. Now, there are in some cases where you may hear on one of the older Bob and Tom bits, Willie cussing or something when he was like 10. In that case, they did not really have the kid. They did not really have him say the cuss word. They just had him say, you know, let's say if it were the F word, he said Frank or something like that. And Dean would edit it to the way to where you just hear the F and the K. So we would not. Yeah, no, we may seem like we have no morals or ethics at times, but we certainly do when it comes to production of things. We don't ever have anybody do anything that they're not comfortable with or that we may think would be questionable. So, good question. And, you know, I'll be honest, I'm not a big break the fourth wall guy in today's, but I'm happy to answer your questions. And if you ever send in a question that about something that goes on behind the scenes that I'm not willing to discuss or comfortable with, or I just don't want to ruin the magic, I'll certainly let you know. You know, I'll just go, hey, because I'm old school when it comes to comedy and entertainment and things like that. I've never been a huge DVD commentary guy. I've never been a big podcast, you know, listening to people talk about their work and analyze comedy or movies or stuff like that. I just like the work itself. I know Tom is of this ilk as well. In fact, he's more staunch about it than I am. I get why people are interested, and so I will occasionally break the fourth wall, or I'll do it to make, if I do ever do it on the morning show, it's to make my coworkers laugh. which isn't a great thing. We're here for you. We're not always, but it is sometimes fun to have little inside jokes. I think there's a certain magic with television and music and movies and everything like that, that I let the work speak for itself. I don't always have to know how it got done or how. Now, that said, boy, when I'm a fan of something, and when you're a fan of, don't you like knowing, boy, I love that album. I wonder what it was like in the studio. And you can seek it out. So I certainly get that. And the Bits and Podcasts, the Bits and Pieces podcast is certainly terrific for that. So plenty of behind the scenes stuff there. So I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying that for whatever reason, I've never been a huge fan of it. But things I love, like the Bob and Tom Show, or I mentioned those new Rob Zombie singles. If there were a 3-minute YouTube video of behind the scenes, I'd give it a look. So sometimes it's fun to get a peek. Other times it can be too much, and you know, you find out the magician's tricks, and that's not always as interesting as the work itself. So, okay, and we had one more question here. As always, I get them mixed up and don't, you know, shuffle the papers. Ah, here we go. This comes to us from Bernard. Or Bernard, maybe you're British. I think in a lot of Bernard. Bernard. Let's see. He says, you seem very upbeat and positive on your podcast, but on the morning show, you often seem dark humored and grouchy. And Bernard says, which is it? Terrific. That's a great question. And you are absolutely correct. The answer to which is it? Is both. Now, generally speaking, when I don't have a microphone in front of me, I like to think of myself as a friendly, upbeat, positive person. Do I get in moods off the air or, you know, in everyday life? Of course, who doesn't? Where I'll get a little crabby about, you know, or a little sad or whatever, or sometimes just quiet. I'll tell you what, man. When I do a show, the morning show for 4 hours, and then I, you know, there's like usually a half an hour or so, and then I'll do the podcast. After that podcast, I am just done talking, and I just need and or want to be quiet. So, in fact, Jason, my producer for the podcast, there was a morning where I had to apologize to him. And because he got in at 10, just as I was getting off the air, essentially. And he and I love to talk about music or whatever. And and I don't think that he thought I was, I don't think that you thought I was being rude at times, but there must have been days where you went, well, he doesn't feel like talking. And I said, Jason, man, I'm so sorry. I just, if it feels like I'm not interested in what you're saying or I'm not interested in talking, I'm just, I just don't want to hear my voice for a little bit. So, but he also, he's been around here way longer than I have. And he knows how, you know, how it is with Chick and Christy and Tom in particular, who've been doing this for decades, that, hey, yeah, maybe give them, don't, if you want to talk to them, they need a little break or whatever in between. So, Tom would often, he often jokes, if you ever want me to say no to something, ask me at 10:05. So it's, there's some truth behind that. So anyway, I am a positive and upbeat person, but I can't help it. I do like dark humor and I like playing up grouchiness on the morning show, and there's a reason why I don't do it on the podcast, because there's nobody here to put me in my place when it's just me. When I'm being, when I'm saying inappropriate things or being unnecessarily grouchy or petty on the Bob and Tom show, I've got six or so people to call me out on it, and that is a lot of fun. And in fact, this is a peek behind the curtain. If you if you don't want to hear this, I will talk with you next week. But if you're fine with a little peek behind the curtain, here it is. Often, if I am complaining about a story that we're doing, or I am upset about someone in the story or something like that, I'm not actually upset. I am pretending to be upset because I know, particularly if we have a story that I can tell everyone loves, and Chick is really good at this too, sensing that everybody likes this happy, pleasant story or whatever, I will be the odd man out on purpose. I may very well agree with them in real life, but on the show I will go, oh, this is so stupid. And that way they can, it's interesting. It's interesting radio. At this, and maybe I'm, the risk is I'm going to sound like an a-hole. And but we're a comedy show, and if we have to, you know, sometimes the comedy happens naturally. Sometimes it needs to be created. And I will create that. I will sacrifice my image or whatever for for the comedy. And I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm just saying that's what happens. And Chick is good at that, too. If we're all really happy about, I don't know, a story about horses and we're enjoying ourselves, Chick's good at being, well, you know, most horses die before they're... And then we can all go, you idiots, what's wrong with you? And you know, kind of have fun. Now, problems do arise with me, particularly because I have been doing this for 4.5 years, which means, relatively speaking, I'm still quite new at this. And so I'm still learning how to do this and how to balance that. What Chick calls fake anger. Sometimes you'll hear him go, my fake anger is off the charts. and you could argue that that's a cop out. There are guys like Tom who would say, don't ever say, he doesn't. I've never heard him say this. But I think in his mind, he's going, Tom wouldn't do the fake anger line, is what I'm saying. It's just two different comedic philosophies kind of there. Chick will say it so that you guys know, so just as a tip of a wink to the audience going, hey, I'm not really that mad about this. Tom doesn't care if you think he's really mad about it or not. In fact, I would argue, and I don't know this to be true, I would argue he really wants you to believe that he's upset about it because he is, first and foremost, a performer, a showman for the audience. He doesn't want the peek behind the curtain. What he's putting out there is what you get, okay? So there's very little winking to the audience. Now, if you watch video of the show, you will occasionally see things that you won't hear. Boy, there's some of that wisdom. Huh? You'll see things you won't hear. What I mean is Willie may say something or Godwin may say something. And I will give them the business. I'll say something rude or critical to them. And on the radio, what you miss is me turning around to Godwin or me looking at Willie with a huge smile on my face and sort of a wink, knowing, hey, I'm just ribbing you. And or I'll say something despicable. Let's say we're talking about a celebrity everyone loves, and I'll just make some awful joke about I don't know how they look, which is the lowest sort of form of comedy in many ways. Ripping on somebody for something they have no control over. I will be smiling, even though I'll sound like I'm just being a total jerk. So I give Willie or somebody a smile going, hey, you know, this is all nonsense, right? So anyway, here's what I was getting at. Sorry for the hemming and hawing. It has gotten away from me. And in fact, last week it really got away from me, the grouchiness factor. And I have been wrestling with it for a week. You ever had, we've all had those days where you go to work and you don't do a great job and you go, man, I just wasn't good at my job today. Well, last Wednesday, I would argue I was not very good at my job. I took a couple risks that didn't pay off. with just some jokes, which is fine. If you're not taking risks in comedy, you're probably not doing a particularly good job. Comedy, a lot of comedy is about risk, and a lot of what makes us laugh are things that are said that we in polite society wouldn't normally say. The role of the comedian oftentimes is to say things that we would never say. And we, in this climate of cancel culture and political correctness, which political correctness has its place, but like anything, the pendulum swings a little too far to one side, and context is totally forgotten and or ignored. And I've told you all before, I think being offended is more of a choice than anything than it is just a natural reaction, because I think it's real easy to hear something you don't like and move on. But anyway, that may just be me. What a terrific podcaster. Just losing my train of thought left and right. Anyway, I took some risks. So you got to take risks in comedy, all right? Comedy, as Steve Martin wonderfully, comedy is not pretty. It can get ugly, and a lot of times that ugliness arises from a comedian taking risks and it not working. Well, the risks I took early on the show last Wednesday weren't ugly. They were just silly and nonsense, but they didn't pay out. They didn't pay off, which is fine. I can live with that. But anyway, the show, I wasn't doing a particularly good job. And so the opportunity arose for me to play up some anger. Now, the story that came up was about this viral video where a lawyer was talking to a judge and some other lawyers, a very serious sort of Zoom meeting. But his child had put a cat filter on his computer, and so while he was talking about serious stuff, he couldn't get this cat filter off, so it looked silly. And I guess, you know what? People loved this thing more than I realized. But everybody in the room, Tom was overjoyed. He thought this was so funny, and apparently everybody else did too. I thought it was mildly amusing at best. This is my real reaction to it. Oh, that's, yeah, all right. But I'm also not a huge fan of most viral videos. I don't, I just, for whatever reason, they don't tickle me like they do everybody else. Things like Pizza Rat. Remember that? Where it was a video of a rat dragging a piece of pizza up the stairs or something. And everybody's like, can you believe this? The rat wants, yeah, I can believe it. Rats eat garbage. That to me, that wasn't that amusing. It was, I guess what happened? People, oh, he's like a person. He's not. He's a rat dragon. I know I'm a spoil sport when it comes to that stuff, but I don't, I'm a grouch when it comes to this stuff. All right. when somebody shows me a video of, like, oh, you have to watch this, this dog thinks his reflection is another dog. It's like, boy, do I not care. I love dogs. I think they're cute. I think they're fun. And I don't care. I don't care about these little. So I'm not on TikTok, and I'm not. I sound like a total jerk. I just don't care about that stuff. So when this came up, I didn't care. And so I started playing up that angle. And I got angrier about it than was warranted. And here's what happened. apparently I've been told too that I'm a good actor. And so when I'm pretending to be angry and when I'm really angry, people sometimes can't tell the difference, and that's my fault. So I wasn't as angry about this as I was sounding and apparently looking. And what it did was it shut down the conversation. I was looking for a response. I was looking for a, will you lighten up, or what kind of jerk doesn't like this cat video? That kind of thing. I didn't get it. My however I looked or sounded it made Chick and Christy and it made everybody go quiet. So in my head, I went, well, I've got to ramp up my anger to get a response from the room. And it just didn't play. The angrier I got, the more they let me be angry. And it's not their fault. But what would have made the whole segment better is if one of them said, "What is your problem?" and really called me out on being unnecessarily angry. Instead, and also let me put it this way. This will happen occasionally on the morning show where like if I insult somebody, I need to be called out on it. Or if somebody says something, if I say something stupid, a lot of times I'll say something stupid on purpose. You know who's just so good at this? Christy Lee. Christy Lee is very smart, but she will say she will totally sacrifice her image at the moment and say something dumb to get particularly Chick and Tom's response. Like if she doesn't know anything, if let's say Chick's talking about football, Christy will know damn well but she'll just go, "Well, what does that mean?" She totally knows what it means. She wants Christy, or she's egging on Chick to go, "Oh, you know, that kind of thing." Again, creating comedy. And so, but it doesn't work if we don't respond. So if she says something that makes her sound stupid and we're quiet and move on, well, then she just sounds stupid. It didn't create, that's frustrating. That's frustrating when I compare it to a trapeze act, where I'm on the swing and I'm going to let go and fly through the air. I need you to catch me on the other side. If you don't catch me, I'm going to fall flat. And so there is sort of there's a lot of teamwork in here. And most of the time it's picked up on and played with. But when it isn't, you'll feel it fall flat. And so this was totally falling flat. And so I went, I've got to up my anger to get them to respond. And again, the angrier I got, the the less they said. And so finally I went, all right, I'm going to get as angry as I've ever been, and ended up kind of, what my worry is, insulting the listeners. Because what I turned it into was, these viral videos are just a way for people to distract themselves from their boring lives. And I mean, that's what I said. Did I mean it? I'll be honest, maybe 5%. But of course, that's what these videos are. You know what I mean? I guess what I'm saying is there was a kernel of truth there in that, yes, these viral internet things are ways for us to distract ourselves from our daily lives, but that's not a bad thing. But I sold it as that being a terrible thing. And I thought that would get the rise I was looking for, and it didn't at all. And I was just really unhappy with my performance. I went, okay. And you know what? That made me angry. My poor performance, I got mad at myself, and I couldn't come down from it. I was a little annoyed at the story, did a lot of fake anger, more fake anger, more fake anger. It didn't work, so then genuine anger filled me up, and I didn't do a good job. That's all there is to it. I got some nice emails saying, "Hey, we love Angry Josh. What you said was true. We really appreciate, you know, it was funny and all this stuff." But and I thank you guys. I thank you for that. But I didn't feel like I did a good job. I was disappointed in myself. I didn't play it right. But I'm still learning. And the next morning, it was even kind of one of those things where the next morning I went, "Man, do I feel like coming in?" And you know, the first minute of the show, I went, "Yeah, absolutely. I feel like, what was I talking about?" And everything was fine. So I'm still a little hard on myself about it, but just like anybody would be, you go, okay, didn't do a great job that day for whatever reason, for this reason, for that reason. And I'll do better. So certainly a learning experience. And I hope it is for me, I hope it is for you, sort of a fascinating look into the fragility of humor. It's comedy can be very fickle. You never know what's going to work, really. And oftentimes, and this is one of the more fascinating things about being a stand-up comedian, in order to get better, you have to fail publicly. When you're doing stand-up comedy, when you're trying out a new bit, the only way to know if it's good and the only way to make it better is to do it in front of an audience, which means you are going to fail in front of people. Whereas, let's say you're a musician or an artist, you know, a painter, you can practice a lot on your own and get better just by. I'm not saying that the audience doesn't eventually play a role in you getting better, but you can practice guitar in your house for 3 years and you're going to get better. If you practice stand-up comedy in front of your mirror for 3 years, you're not going to become a better comedian. You have to be in front of a live audience. And so it's one of the only professions where you have to fail publicly. And that is a vulnerable place. And it's fascinating, I think. And being on the radio being on live radio is the exact same thing. I am going to fail a fair amount. So, quite honestly, I'd like to thank you for allowing me to fail publicly. I've failed during this podcast before. I've failed, in the mornings. So I appreciate your patience and generosity when I do fail. And hopefully my batting average is over 300. So I will always try to keep it at that. So this has been a long answer to your question, Bernard, but the answer is I'm an upbeat, positive person. I do think dark humor and being grouchy is funny when I'm with, and I think it's particularly funny when I have people to call me out on it. So, coming up in podcast's future, how'd you like the way I said that? Wasn't that cool sounding? I'm going to be talking a little bit about more jobs that I've had. People want to know about what it was like being Foghorn Leghorn at Six Flags. So I'll be talking about that coming up. Before then, though, we've got this whole week ahead of us. And real quick, thank you guys for listening to the podcast. I really am enjoying visiting with you. And thank you for I have gotten so many great suggestions for segments and for little things from people. And I will be using them, probably, depending. Well, I don't want to make a general statement. The one you sent in may have been, real rotten, just not good. I'm teasing you. There have been plenty of great suggestions. So we're going to have some fun. We're going to have some more fun coming up here with some shifting segments and stuff like that. It'll be a good time. And I thank you for being along for the ride this week. Why don't we work on something? It's a bit of a challenge, but this, something to work on this week. Oh, boy. Happy music for a happy thing. Bettering ourselves, right? Some of you are going to hear this one and go, I'm not in. And that's totally fine. I would never force you to take part in one of these exercises to work on this week. But for some of you, I think this might really help with whatever, your mood or your time or anything like that. I'm going to propose, this is something I've already done, and it did make me feel better. I am going to propose that you do this, and you don't have to, like I said, but consider deleting your least favorite social media app from your phone. Let's say you've got all of them. You've got your Snapchat and your Instagram and your Facebook and your Twitter. I say the heck with one of them. Cut it off. The one that you maybe use the least. The one that when you look at it doesn't make you feel great for whatever reason. It's too political or it's too judgmental or... Or you feel like the folks on it are rubbing their lives too much in your face, or for whatever reason, they don't make you feel as positive as you deserve to feel. Cut it off. Get rid of it. I'm not saying you have to delete your account, but delete that app from your phone so that when you do check it, you actually have to go to your laptop or your work computer or something like that. I deleted a couple. A couple years ago, I deleted my entire Facebook app, not because what I was reading and seeing was necessarily making me unhappy. That happens every now and again. But I didn't care for the product. I'll be honest. I found the site to be unwieldy, and I'm a bit of a neophyte, so technology isn't my strong suit. I just didn't enjoy using it. And so I went, well, I've got other ways. And so I deleted that entire account. I deleted my Twitter app shortly thereafter. And, there were people sending me nice messages, and there were fun jokes and nice conversations being had. But there was also a lot of stuff I didn't care for, and I don't miss it. So if you and I had fun on Twitter, please don't take that personally. I just don't miss Twitter as a whole. So I could have deleted my account. I think for whatever reason, I couldn't figure out how to at the time. I don't remember, but I just deleted the app and I haven't been on that in years. And, yes, I feel like my time was better well spent elsewhere. And, I still enjoy Instagram and, things like that. So, maybe it's time for you to delete your least favorite social media app from your phone. Give it a shot. What's the worst that can happen? You go a week and go, you know what? I want it back. You get it back. So there you go. But you might find that you shed some energy that wasn't all that positive, and you've made a little bit more time for something that is positive. So thank you for joining me this week, and we will talk again next week.
The United States Soccer Federation presents the U.S. Soccer Podcast.
This is the show where we bring you in-depth interviews with U.S. soccer stars.
This time,
Sam Coffey.
The World Cup is in 2 years.
Is it time yet? Like, can we get back into camp?
Tim Ream.
We're going to continue to show other countries we're not going to be pushed around.
And Jedi Robinson.
Every time you come back and you put the jersey on, it means more and more each time.
So we'll be back here with all the best stories.
The U.S. Soccer Podcast.
We've got a lot to talk about.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.